We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Resh Yud Daled. And the Magen Midovna had spoken about how does a person move forward in the world? How does he develop the love of Hashem and Hashem's Torah? So he says, firstly, you have to uproot all the weeds that have grown in one's heart. If a person thinks about it, and he starts thinking about what's important to him, and he starts thinking about where those external desires would lead him, so then he can overcome them. He says, for example, if a stranger would come over to you and say, shine my shoes, you'd laugh at him. You'd say, why should I shine your shoes? So he says, why? Because he'd say, you haven't given me anything, and I don't owe you anything, so why should I do that for you? And he says, by the same token, when one feels suddenly a desire, an urge to do things, then he should look at that desire and say, wait a second, why should I follow you? And we said that really he's developing a very important trait. He's helping us develop the habit of putting our intellect in the driver's seat and not our desires. Whereas most people function the other way. They walk in the store, they see something they like, they put them in the cart, and then they start rationalizing why they could or couldn't afford it, should or shouldn't buy it. They put their desire in the driver's seat, and then that external conscience, we said like Jiminy Cricket, suddenly you have this external bad guy who's really our logic, our intellect, and instead of that being one with us, instead of that being the driver, we work the other way. We let our desires drive, and the intellect is suddenly the enemy, where he says what we're trying to develop is the more correct path in life, where we make decisions and we make moves based on our intellect. And our external desires are those which have to justify themselves. Where when suddenly we feel like doing something, we ask ourselves, prove it. Why should I? So now, v'lo yifne, we're on page Resh Yud Daled, v'lo yifne levavcha, livchor v'lachshok, rak et asher chashak Hashem. And then one's heart doesn't turn to desire, to covet, anything other than that which Hashem desires. Rashum b'dat emet mipi avinu shebashamayim. Written in truth, written in the Torah from our Father in heaven, Hakol bichtav miyad Hashem aleinu iskil. Hashem informed us in the writing that Hashem gave us. Shama mevoar chefetz aboreit barach min adam. There Hashem says what He wants of us. V'koach etzonecha v'cheftzecha lo yiyem mufkar. And then one's desires are not left abandoned, kim shamu mikoach hadat, but they can be applied from the intellect. Hafek oto kim el ha-ra'uy la'avodat yotzreinu yitbarach shmo. One can apply it specifically to the desire of our Creator, la'asot kirtzono u'la'ava oto, to do in accordance with His desires and to love Him. And here again, he's reiterating a point which is really, it's a deep truth. We have to harness our desires because at the end of the day, most of what we do stem from our desires. You guys, you want me to stop and get scissors? I'll stop and get scissors.
One second.
Yes. At the end of the day, our real drive is based in our emotion. You don't find a guy getting all excited about Shabbos because intellectually Hashem rested on Shabbos, so I should rest on Shabbos. A guy can get very excited over the challahs of Shabbos. He can get very excited over the songs of Shabbos. He can get very excited about seeing everyone in shul on Shabbos and having a chazan that davens in a way that moves him. But I haven't seen the guy who gets very excited about the idea that I will not turn on a light because Hashem rested on Shabbos. I haven't seen it. And maybe there are people like that out there, but
I found it exciting.
Very exciting. Okay, good. I said there might be people like that out there.
You even hear that concept in the Word. Take away the E from the Word, and what are you left with?
I'm listening.
Emotion.
Ah, okay.
It makes you get emotionally. Emotion, the emotion with an E, makes you get into motion.
Okay. So
I think there must be a connection.
I hear. At the end of the day, the Magid Midubna says, we have to harness our desires, we have to guide our desires, but they have to be there. Meaning, we are not talking about a stoic observance of mitzvahs. Yes, this is what I'll do. No, this is prohibited. The Torah wants us to be human, to be excited, to love, to care, to feel. What the Torah does is it trains us, it guides us to apply our emotions correctly. But we are supposed to be emotional, caring people. And then, if a person can harness and guide his desires and his love, so then he lifts himself from blemish. He finds favor before our King in his holy way of life. If you could only put a muzzle and contain your thoughts. And at first glance, he's telling us something excruciatingly difficult, but in truth, it's something that's attainable to each of us. He says, not to even consider something that is not the will of our Creator, blessed be He. Now, at first glance, you say, how could I do that? What do you mean? I know I want to. So there are many answers to that, but I don't want to go on tangent. Let's go with the route he's describing. There are healthy habits. I had a friend, still have a friend, who was a massive thief. I mean, he once tried calculating with me in conversation how many millions of dollars he stole. What?
Wow.
He didn't have any of it left. But at any rate, so he trained himself.
Was your pocketbook okay after
the talk? He trained himself. We're still friends. He trained himself to be an honest person. He got into the habit to the point where the idea of touching something that wasn't his was anathema to him. And I don't know if you could imagine a person at age 40-something changing such a habit. You're talking about a guy that from age 12, 13 was a thief till about the age 40, 41. And then he came to Machon Meir, and this goes back about a decade ago, and trained himself, decided that's not the type of person I want to be. And he reached a point where he wouldn't. The idea of stealing was just... He wasn't willing to even hear of it. To the point where I once offered him a shidduch. And the girl... He checked out the girl and he heard that in a skit she played the role of a thief. And he said, no, don't offer me a girl like that. How could she even do that? I said, okay, fine, you know. That was the level he had gotten to, you know. A person can, if a person trains himself and connects with the idea. You know, the girl played it in a skit. It wasn't like she did anything. She played the role, and he was like, don't offer me a girl like that. Come on. To you guys that might be extreme, but if you can think of a person who has become so meticulously honest, has gone to the opposite extreme, so then the idea that someone else could even toy with that was anathema to him. He couldn't think of dating a person like that. Yeah.
I've noticed we all have our little disneyland and test in life. Like for him, this is probably his particular disneyland. Like, I know those things to me will seem like a big deal that to other people are like, why are you worried about that? Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, see, for me, it's my particular disneyland. I think most people don't understand that. Like, most people, like me and who else are looking at that guy, go, boy, he's crazy for piecing in all those particular tests. And for him, thievery was his big thing, you know? So, like, for us, we could probably, like, look at somebody like that, I think thievery was his test, so he had to work extremely on because that was his particular disneyland.
Yeah, but I just brought it as an example that what he's describing here, at first glance, it seems extraordinary. How are you going to do that? get to a point where the thoughts and the desires aren't even aroused to something that's prohibited. Well, you have people who used to eat cheeseburgers, and today they don't even think of eating a cheeseburger. Yeah, we all have those things which at one point we were doing, not only desiring, but doing. They were a part of our lives. And today, we don't even think about it. And it could be Lashon Hara, and it could be revealing other people's secrets, and it could be desecrating the Shabbos, and it could be making fun of a friend, and it could be being disrespectful to a parent. There are so many examples which each person has their personal challenge, but we have to realize that this is doable. In every area, you could develop that habit, and then you don't even think about it. It takes time. It takes time. The guy who wakes up every day at 9:30, 10:30, 11:30 is going to find it difficult to fathom that he could be the guy that gets up at 5:30 that can't even think of getting up later. But you could get there. I've seen it done. You could. Yeah. You want to say something? Yeah.
How do you get these people?
Just one second. Just one second. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was curious how the guy, your friend, is coming to your tshuva for stealing from other people.
Right. So the Gemara says, in such scenarios, you do public good, meaning you build a bridge, you do things that'll benefit the public, and then you hope over time you'll be paying back the people. But the Gemara asks that question, and that's what the Gemara says. The best you can do is try to do things that'll benefit the public, and hopefully over time, yeah, yeah.
How do we get these people to be good examples for other people now that they've accomplished this with us?
Well, I think the story is enough. The story is enough. You don't know who it is. Back to our Gemara. Back to our Sefer Amidot. Excuse me. Ve'im achar kach od yitgaber koach hachefetz ve'yalev oshov tzachanato. And if afterwards the desire still takes hold, and a person feels all the schmutz, all the filth coming out of the waves of that sea of desire, just like the waves brush all the filth ashore. So the terms v'yalev oshov tzachanato, he's using a metaphor. He's using poetic form to describe, just as the waves brush the dirt ashore, they brush all kinds of debris ashore. So too, one's desire can suddenly brush bring ashore, so to speak, onto his heart the debris of those desires. V'igzor alecha ma she'igzor, and then suddenly you do feel like doing something that's terribly wrong. Tilag alav, then you'll have the strength to makim etachlimenu ad asher yirof mimcha. And you'll be able to put him down till he lets go of you. And this is another important tool in fighting the Yetzer Hara. Meaning our minds are capable of thinking thoughts that are terrible. Sometimes a person can give thanks that other people can't read his thoughts, because if they did, we'd all be in trouble, right? So the Magen Midovna says one of the tools in dealing with it is how you view it. If you can look at it and say, come on, what's wrong with you? Am I going to do a thing like that? The problem is we don't do that. The problem is we say, okay, if I can't get away with doing it, I'll at least fantasize about it. Now, we don't say that many words, but that's what we actively do. We let our minds wander with the thought, and then at some point, hopefully, we can release ourselves of the thought. The Magen Midovna is telling us one of the tools. After you've become accustomed, or even before you become accustomed, but it's easier after you've become accustomed to the service of Hashem, and that your desires should go in line with that. So then when thoughts come up that are really wrong, so then a person can really look at them and say, come on, what's wrong with you? You should be embarrassed. A person can tell himself that. And a person should tell himself that. And you know, every one of us has thoughts that could put us in prison and worse. We all have these thoughts that when our mind wanders, it goes all kinds of places. One of the keys to ensuring that it never happens is reacting to it, not letting the thought just develop in one's mind. I'll give you an example. The Magen Midovna says you had this officer, he had a servant. The servant was poor and he was a scoundrel. So the master had pity over the servant. So he said to the servant, look, I have thousands of servants, men, women. So I will give you one of my servants as a gift. So at some point, the servant wrote to him as follows. So the servant writes back to the Lord, after the Lord gave him this gift, he gave him a slave of his own. So he says to him, I'd like to meet you at battle. Prepare your forces and let's meet head on. So the Lord sends back a letter and says, Atah achu, you disgraceful one. Atzev nivze nikne, you bitter, sorry creature. Ve'emed li, you're my servant. Imit aroch milchama, who are you going to wage war with? Uvemit aroch milchama negdi, who are you going to use in your army against me? You're going to use the very slave I gave you as a gift. You're going to be that brazen? You're willing to fight me with the very gift I gave you? I swear by your life, I'm going to take that slave back. And then let's see what strength are you going to have to fight a war. Hanimshan, what are we saying with this allegory? What are we? If you look at the forces that be, how much strength do we have to stand up to the forces? This past Shabbos, you guys heard the winds? You saw the trees falling? Lightning, thunder, I don't know what you guys had here in Yerushalayim. By us, it was pretty magnificent. Kochav Yaakov. The winds were at a... Wow, I don't remember when I saw such winds. What?
I can't see it, but it wasn't that intense.
Okay.
I was in the area.
Think about it. What does the human being really have? We're small little creatures, and how can we really ensure our continued existence? V'chamar alav Adonav yitbarach u'masar b'yado chefetz nivchar u'inyan abchira. So our master, God in heaven, gave us something very cherished, something very precious. He gave us free will. Kemamar, as the verse says, Re'ei natati lefanecha hayom. Hashem says, behold, I gave before you today et hachayim ve'et hatov, life, and that which is good, ve'et hamavet, ve'et hara, and death, and that which is evil, uvachata b'chayim. And Hashem says, and I want you to choose life. And all of this was good advice. It was voluntary, free advice our Creator gave us, so that we will benefit from it. As the verse says, you toil, you will reap the crops of your toil. Praised are you, it will be good for you. Hashem says, if I didn't give you free choice, everything you got was free gifts from me. I don't want you to be in a world where everything's shameful. You're always getting freebies. Accomplish your own thing. Make your own living, so to speak. Hashem says, accomplish in the world. You'll have the challenges of free will, the challenges to do what's wrong. You will conquer your desires. You will accomplish, and then you will have merits. You will have a right to the good that I want to give you. Now you're going to take that free choice I gave you, that servant, that slave I gave you, Hashem says, you're going to use it to rebel against me? Look around you. Does the table have free choice? I haven't seen it flap up and smack anyone. Does any other creature have free will? Every creature has what God decrees on them. Why shouldn't we be the same way? A person's responsibility is to take control and say, so what if I want? You know, when kids, every so often you're going to see one kid smacks the other kid, or one kid grabs something from another kid, and you're going to ask him, why'd you do that? And they're going to say, because I want. Because I want, because I wanted to. And you're going to say as a parent, so what if you wanted to? And every time I say that to the kids, I think to myself, how many times is God going to say that to me? You know, how many things did I do that God's going to look down and say, so what if you wanted to? And that's what the Magen Midovna says. We should take pause and ask ourselves, so what if we want? There's a creator. He has demands. He told us what he wants of us. As Elihu says in Job, God taught us, he made us more intelligent than the animals and the birds, but we have to learn from them. We have to learn from them that they don't go against what God commanded them. They go with they run the course of nature. And we're going to have to pick up here next time. We're in the middle of a thought, but I'll pick up here next time.